So today we are going to be thinking about how Christmas is about hope. That's not earth-shattering news, we know that already, don't we? So I have a question for you to start off with. Who has written a Christmas present list? Just put your hand up if you've made a list of what you would like for Christmas. Yeah, I have. Yeah, okay. So what is at the top of your present list? What is the thing that you are really hoping for the most? Just think about it. Think what that one thing is that you really, really, really want. Okay, I'm going to count to three and then say go. And when I say go, I want everybody to say loudly what that thing is, all at the same time. Okay, got it? One, two, three, go. Oh, well, I think that could have been louder, but we get the idea. I did hear a negative test, I think. That is not a bad thing to be hoping for, is it? Loads of different things, so many different things that we hope that we might get. And I don't know if we will all get everything that we want or not, because sometimes we don't get everything, do we? But that should not stop us from hoping. Looking forward to things is good, especially if we can look forward to making other people's hopes come true. Have you ever thought about that? We have that ability. Isn't it an interesting thought that we can help someone else to get what they want? About 2 weeks ago, many of us brought gifts to our toy service. Do you remember that? And we had a table here full of presents that we were also generous to bring along. And we have the privilege of helping parents who might be thinking, I hope I can give my children a Christmas present this year. That might be their hope, is just to be able to give their children a Christmas present. Or perhaps their children are thinking, I really hope I get a Christmas present this year, because they know that money is really tight. We've been able to be an answer to their hope. Isn't that incredible? I wonder if you know someone whose hope is for a new friend because they're lonely. You think about maybe if you're at school or even at work or one of your neighbours. Do you know somebody who could do with a friend? Maybe that could be you or me. You might just see somebody who is in need, hoping that somebody will help them out. And it might be something really big, or it might be something really small. But could we be the answer for them, for what they hope for? Do we ever hope for something that we already have? Well, not really. That wouldn't make much sense, because hope is looking to the future. It would be strange for me to say, I hope I have a sparkly jumper because I already have one. It would be a bit odd to say, I really hope our church has a Christmas tree this year, because there it is, it's already there. So we don't need to hope for things that we already have. I'm going to ask Lissa to come and read for us now. She's going to read from Romans 8, verses 22 to 25, and she's reading from the New Century Version. Thank
you. We know that everything God made has been waiting until now in pain, like a woman ready to give birth. Not only the world, but we also have been waiting with pain inside us. We have the Spirit as the first part of God's promise. So we are waiting for God to finish making us his own children, which means our bodies will be made free. We are saved, and we have this hope. If we see what we are waiting for, that is not really hope. People do not hope for something they already have, but we are hoping for something that we do not have yet, and we are waiting for it patiently.
Fantastic. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you, Liz. That was beautifully read. And I think that's the first time you've come up to read for us, isn't it? So well done, and we thank you. So during this time of Advent, we are waiting for Christmas, although I expect some of us are not waiting all that patiently now. I'm starting to get a bit excited, and I'm sure there are other people who are too. Well, we don't have to hope for Jesus to come and be born, because that already happened. We already have Jesus, which is, of course, great news. But there is more. Just like the Bible reading says, we remember now that we are waiting for him to come back to earth, and that's something we wait for as patiently as we can. And we are waiting for other people to hear about Jesus too and to love him. There are so many people who need a hope for their future, but don't know yet what that hope is for. And God can use us to help answer that hope, to tell them about Jesus and to introduce them to him. So, we're going to move on to our Christingle section now, okay? So many of us know what the different parts of a Christingle represent. And I think that they also represent, we can think about them representing the past, the present, and the future. So the orange, we know, represents the world that God has already made. And the red ribbon represents Jesus' blood from when he died on the cross so that we can be forgiven by God and have a good relationship with him now. So that's things that have happened in the past, but it's about now as well. And then the sweets and the fruit, there's a lot more sweets than fruit on there, I have to say. They represent the good things that God gives us. And that's about now as well, about the blessings, the good things that God gives us every day. And the candle that is so perfectly balanced shows us that Jesus is the light of the world and brings us hope for our future of living with him forever.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm used to people walking out maybe during my sermon, but not before, a mass protest. No, I'm just going to share something with you while we're all still together. And as you can see, I just thought I'd show you that I've upgraded my mobile phone. It was a free upgrade. So if you don't mind, I've just got a quick phone call to make, and I just thought now would be a good time to do it, because I just need to speak to somebody in management.
Hi, and thank you for calling the waiting room. Your call is important to us. So we can understand what you're waiting for, please listen to the following options. For justice for the oppressed, dial 1. For peace and tranquility, dial 2. For an end to war and bloodshed, dial 3. For fulfillment and satisfaction, dial 4. For answers to life's unanswered questions, dial 5. For reconnection with dead relatives, pets and historical figures, dial 6. For all other inquiries, please hold. Your call is important to us. Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming.
Well, just going to leave that on hold for now. I wonder, are you familiar with the waiting room? Do you know what it is to wait? Waiting in a broken down car or train? Waiting for rescue? Waiting in a long queue, like I saw here, for a vaccination? Waiting to be safe, for protection? Waiting at the post office? Waiting to be served? Or waiting for the time to book that holiday or see that friend? Waiting to travel freely? Or waiting to get through on the phone and speak to a human being? Or waiting for God? Waiting for an answer to prayer? We all know what it is to wait. And isn't it hard to remain patient when we're waiting? Waiting can drain our faith and our hope. Will we ever get there? Will we get what we hope for? The people of God have a long history of waiting and longing. And in Advent, we're reminded of the Old Testament prophets. And we find them in the waiting room. They were waiting for God's promises to be accomplished. They longed for God's Messiah to appear on the earth. They were God's messengers, God's mouthpiece. And just a few examples on this last Sunday of Advent. The prophet Jeremiah proclaimed, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." And the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." And then lastly, the prophet Micah proclaimed, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace." The word of God and the promise of God rang out, and it rang true. They foretold God's Messiah. They described God's Savior, perfectly describing the person and the place. But they never met their Messiah. The prophets of God spent hundreds of years in the waiting room. It must have seemed like God was on mute, that God had put them on hold. The prophets lived and died in the waiting room. But their faith did not die with them. Like their ancestors, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, Samuel, and many more, as we read in Hebrews 11, all these people and prophets were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. But when the time was right, God's moment, Messiah appeared. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born. And Jesus alone fulfilled these promises. In God's perfect timing, Jesus, our perfect King, was born at Bethlehem. God's perfect gift for you and for me and for all. Fully God, fully human, the Word made flesh, love come down. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's wonderful news. In the shadows of the past, in the uncertainty of the future, and in the confusion of today, Jesus Christ enters. He enters in. He has joined you and me in the waiting room of this world. Our brother, our friend, our guide, our good shepherd sits alongside us in our waiting and longing. So as I close, I encourage you in your waiting, be like the prophets of old. Be patient. Take comfort. Find hope. Listen to God. Dream new dreams. Persevere. Stand firm in your faith. The Lord is near. His Holy Spirit is with us and groans and longs with us for his day. The day of the Lord approaches. His hour has come. Our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So keep listening, keep serving, keep trusting, and keep loving. Don't put your phone back on the hook just yet, because your call is important to God.
So in a moment, we're going to light our candles and think quietly about what the different aspects of the Christingle mean to us today. And all of our Christingles are going to be lit from just one flame from the Advent candles. So as the flame passes around, hold onto your orange and think about the world, how big and beautiful it is. And thank God for making such a nice home for us. and look at the red tape around it, the red ribbon, and think about how Jesus loved every single person in the world so much that he would die so that we can be forgiven and saved by him. Not just those of us here, but every single person in the world, Jesus did that for. And then look at the sweets and the fruit that you chose to put on the sticks. God chooses to give us good things just because he wants to. He wants us to enjoy life. So can you think of some good things that God has given you this week? And finally, look at the candle and the flame. I wonder if you can feel any heat coming from it. The hope that Jesus has for each one of us can bring us warmth. Can you imagine being cold and then the feeling of warming up again? It's very comforting, isn't it? Ask Jesus to warm you up and those you know with the hope and love that he has for you. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold firmly to the hope that we have confessed, because we can trust God to do what he promised." Amen.